Legends are the only comic book podcast that is always hot to go. I'm one of your hosts, Chan.
It's a comics and nerd culture podcast, and I'm your other host, Cameron.
Hello, Cameron.
Hello.
How are you? It's been a long time since I've seen you.
Yeah, I'm tired.
You look...
But, yeah, thank you. No, thank you. That's not nice.
Yes. Cameron and I have recently seen each other. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more later in the show.
Later. It was a lovely time, or was it?
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Spoiler alert, it was.
It was a lovely time. But the world is awful. The comics are still good.
They are.
So we're going to talk about comics and nerd culture and not any of the other terrible things.
The non-nerd culture.
Yeah.
They're nerds in different ways, but we don't claim that.
It is funny to me. This is a thing I thought about earlier today. It is funny to me. I'm going to get political just for a second. I'm just preparing you. That they are creating a free speech martyr and using that to take away people's speech at probably the most alarming rate we've ever seen.
Funny.
it's funny in a makes me want to cry a little bit kind of way.
If only Alanis Morissette had taught me what irony really was, maybe I'd say it's ironic.
Yeah. Yeah. Poetic justice, perhaps?
But I don't need poetic justice.
Yeah. There needs to be a negative
poetic injustice.
But we're not here to talk about any of that because it's terrible.
Yeah, and I'd rather not.
We're here to talk about comic book.
You can get that stuff anywhere. I'm not saying you'll get a good take.
Yeah.
But you can get that anywhere. But comics, you could also get a lot of places. But we thank you that you've come to us.
Yeah, we thank you that you've come to us. Yeah, it looks like if I'm interpreting our names correctly, we probably have the same best book this week. We haven't talked about it.
Probably. We never do communicate. It's only happened like once before.
Mm-hmm. So since we're both going to be talking about kind of the same book, I guess we could not be, but I would assume we are.
I would assume we do.
I looked up the reviews for this book and was kind of shocked that they're pretty middling. And I loved it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I did the same. I know it's not the best because I feel like it's just a review aggregator and it doesn't differentiate between any, there's not like these are the papers of record or the reviewers of record. It's just like whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Over on Comic Book Roundup, it was at an 8.6, which isn't bad at all. That's not bad at all. And the user rating was an 8.0. Well, that's only one review. That's the downside to this.
Okay.
But I feel like overall, and it was six different reviews with an average of an 8.6, anywhere from an 8.1 to a 9.
Yeah, I would say, just kind of thumbing through, very few people have read this book, which, again, kind of shocks. But I would probably say people are giving it like a 3.25 average.
It looks like over on, this is, again, just all user reviews on, yeah. What do we call it?
League of
Comic Book Geeks, it's at a 4.0, which I feel like for that website or for this service, that's like pretty good.
Maybe people are higher on it than it seems, but like the reviews that they're featured are mostly like fours and threes.
Uh-huh.
But I really enjoyed this book. Is it the most original thing ever? Probably not, but what is?
No, but I feel like especially, like usually I get my books on usually Thursday because it's just the way that it works out best for my life. And usually I don't really read them until maybe Saturday, but I made a point of reading this one pretty quick because I was excited ever since I first heard about it. And I didn't regret it. I feel like it was I think I read it maybe Friday. No, I think I read it on Thursday as the walls were tumbling down. And I felt like it was just the story that I needed.
Sorry, my wife had a question.
It's all right. But it was like, I think it was the balm to my weary soul that was already very weary by Thursday.
I didn't read it until today. I had a lot of books this week. For various reasons, I'm only bringing six. But I bought 11.
11? You only told me 10.
Well, one of them was to fill a hole. To get me back on track with a series.
Hmm.
But yeah, so I wasn't able to get them until Saturday. And then it was, I read it today, but the minute I read it, I was like, I'm going to read this with my wife and son.
Yeah, I'm like, my kids would probably enjoy this.
Yeah, so we read it, and all three of us really liked it. My son does not know how to deal with cliffhangers yet. Well, as he calls them, cliffhangers. So he was like, what does an end as a cliffhanger? What'd you say?
He said, we just call that an ending.
Yeah. But we are talking, of course. Which one of us is supposed to be first this week?
You are.
Oh, I am? Do you want me to summarize it and then we'll just kind of talk about it?
Yeah, go ahead. We need to say what it is.
We're talking about Children of the Round Table.
Court.
Yeah, Court. Which, for those of you at home, we don't really talk about what books we are because we kind of try to surprise each other. But we do kind of theme our name and our streaming after our best book. And when I saw his, I was like, ah, we have the same one.
Mine is Cameron with the Sword.
Yes, and mine is Chance the Teal Knight because my wife's favorite color is teal. This takes place. I don't think this takes place in the proper DC universe. There's no indication that it does.
Yeah, nobody has like a superhero clothing, which I feel like is always like a standard DC universe thing.
Yeah, or no one's dropping like a Batman could help or something like that.
Because even in like, there's this spread where it introduces all the kids. Mm-hmm. Like Hanan has like a character on her hoodie that's just called Fire Girl.
Yeah.
And it's like Ash has some like lightning bolts on his headphones, but it's not like a flash lightning bolt. Yeah. It's just a lightning bolt.
So I think this is taking place out of continuity, which is totally fine. It's where I've been really enjoying a lot of stories. This is by Tom Taylor and Daniel or Danielle, do you think?
I'm not sure. I was uncertain.
DiNicolo. Daniel or Danielle DiNicolo?
It's just spelled not like either of those things. I'm guessing it's Danielle.
Danielle.
It's a man. He's a man.
Okay.
But it's clearly a foreign name. Italian. He's Italian.
Okay. We start in England in a place called The Hill, where they apparently keep some relics, but something pops out of there. And they're like, the rock, it's gone. And a lady is like, it's time. It's time for a new generation. So it seems that this has happened before. Then we cut to a soccer game where a girl named Fel and a boy named Connor are squaring off. And this Connor is very confident that he will block her shot, but she makes the shot and he pouts about it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this instantly shows like how dynamic the art is.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the little soccer game, like kicking the ball and him jumping for it, it just feels very like exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a high action. Just really nice, very clean.
It's definitely an animation style that I would say would be very at home in a cartoon.
Uh-huh. Which I mean, this is an ages eight and up. Book. So this is like not the normal world where we tend to play,
yeah,
as readers. And so I mean that makes sense too.
I feel like they use a lot of like the cartoon things, like all the faces are kind of same, but they differentiate them with like hair and freckles and stuff like that.
A bandage on the nose.
The art's very good. It's definitely like Saturday morning cartoon good instead of like Alan Moore. I think it does the job. But this Connor misses the shot and he pouts. His grandma says, you almost blocked it. And he's like, almost doesn't count, grandma. So he's been listening to some country music. Which I get it. That would make anyone depressed. And the Fell girl is being a real good sport, being like, these games are meaningless. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I don't know. And then her mom says like, or she says she's going on a quest with her friends, and her mom's like, all right. But you need to take your dog with you. And she's like, it's your dog. And they kind of argue about the dog. And she's like, fine, I'll take the dog, but you have to take my phone. And she's like, no phone. And she's like, yeah, this is, we can't have modern luxuries on this quest. And her mom's like, you're going to be practically cave people. And she's like, I know.
That's the point. There's a little bit of a, you know, your dad left. We got the dog because your dad left. So there's like
it doesn't seem important yet, but yes. Yeah,
but it's just, you know, it's just like a little bit of family drama. But the mom and daughter seem good. They seem to have a good relationship.
Yeah, yeah. They do a lot of, they do a lot of real good, like, legit kid work in this. How old do you think these kids are supposed to be? 10?
I'd maybe go a little bit older. I'm just realizing one of them has a prosthetic leg.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Which one?
Randall, in the picture where they all are together.
Oh, yeah, he does have a prosthetic leg. I missed that.
I'd say maybe it aged up a little bit. I'd say maybe middle school, early middle school.
Oh, okay. I don't feel like any of them show signs of, like, puberty, but...
I guess, but, I mean, they have letter jackets. That doesn't feel elementary.
That's true, too. That's true, too. So, kids of an indeterminate age. But, yes, they all meet up in Hollywood Hills. Ash, Connor, Randall, Kelly, Kevin, Hannah, and, of course, we've already met Fel. Randall, a kid with a prosthetic leg, which I'm glad you pointed out, is being very dramatic about going to Bronson Cave. Dramatic in a good way. I liked it.
Uh-huh. He's like the quest leader.
Yeah, he's like the quest leader, talking about how they may not make it. And the Connor kid is poo-pooing on it again. He also brought his phone, and he's poo-pooing on everybody, not bringing their phones.
Oh, it seems like Randall and Kelly are twins.
Oh, maybe. I didn't get that, but maybe.
Are they? They have the same jacket, same hair color.
It could be.
Certainly siblings.
I figured they were kids at the same school. Because they also have kind of a similar hair color to... Well, I guess theirs is a little more faded than Fel's.
Here's a bit more red.
I don't know. But then this Ash kid, who seems to be the coolest one, takes Connor's phone. And he's like, stop being you and you might get it back. And he's like, wait, are you filming me? But they don't get to answer that because the dog is barking at something. And wouldn't you know it, a giant rock is falling from the sky. It hits right in front of them and then chases them a little bit. It looks like they jump off a cliff, but I guess it's just a small ledge.
It's a small cliff.
But they look up and it is a sword in a giant rock. I like this interaction a lot. The girl who made the shot earlier, Fel, is like, I'm going to go check this out. And the boy who didn't make the shot, Connor, is like, I'm going to go with you.
Kevin quickly endears himself.
What?
Kevin quickly endears himself to me.
Yes, Kevin quickly endears himself as a rule follower. He's like, don't do that. Have you never seen a movie? Like, this is how you get a face-hugging alien. But they're gonna go check it out. Instantly, Connor, who's obviously kind of the hothead, wants to pull the sword out, but he can't. But the girl Fel's like, why can't you pull it out? Like, it wants to be free. So she grabs it and she pulls it out and hoists it high with light beaming down from above.
And it's a big sword too.
It's a big sword. It's a real big sword.
Comically large.
Yes, one could say comically large. It actually looks almost exactly, if you have not seen this book, it looks almost exactly like Asta's sword in Black Clover, except with a gold hilt and a silver blade instead of all black like Asta's. It's like the exact same type of sword. I would be shocked if it wasn't inspired by it.
What kind of sword is this?
What?
It's a great sword, but I don't know if there's a specific name for it.
Oh, I don't think this kind of
sword. I want it to exist, Chance.
It doesn't exist.
It does in my heart.
It is, the blade is so large, no one.
Yeah, it's not really possible. It almost makes me think of Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
Oh yeah, the great swords in that.
Uh huh.
Or the knight swords in a regular Tactics. It kind of looked like that.
I want it to be real, but you're exactly right. It's not practical.
Yeah, I think like one of the biggest swords is the Montante. It's kind of like the claymore, and they're really cool because like you weren't really supposed to duel with them. You were just supposed to like kind of swing them around wildly to hold like space. Like, but even like historical scholars will say like it was mostly a bluff. Like it wasn't actually that dangerous, but you had a giant sword swinging around and most people just aren't going to mess with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a last ditch effort to try to like hold a spot.
I know I'd be staying back
at a gate, but that's like one of the biggest swords ever made. And even it, like within like actual sword fighting, is fairly impractical. Anyway, but yes, this is a giant sword. Again, if you've seen Black Clover, think Asta's sword, but not all black because it doesn't have a devil inside of it. If I just spoiled why Asta's sword is all black for you, sorry.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
But the Kevin boy is like, the rock's glowing. I think it's going to blow. So the rock blows up, but it instead of blowing up into rocks, it blows up into weapons, which may be just as dangerous.
Maybe more.
Yes. Our girl Hannah gets a bow. Randall, I believe. No, that's Kelly. Kelly gets a shield that looks like a giant knight helmet. I've looked at the cover of issue 3, and you can get a much better picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
A blue sword impales itself in a tree above Connor's head, a giant, ridiculously sized lands at Randall's feet, and a stick hits Kevin in the face.
And a big spear is right in front of Ash.
Yes, but that's the next page.
Oh, that is the next page, yes.
Yes, and a big spear is right in front of Ash, and Ash quickly becomes my favorite character with one simple line. I didn't realize I wanted a spear until right now.
Me too. That's, I was just like, all right. Let's do this.
The difference is I've always known I wanted a spear.
Yeah, I mean, I've played with enough sticks in my life.
So they're talking about their weapons. They're deciding whether or not they should give it to the police because they hear sirens. But Fel is like, no, I know that these weapons chose us. Kevin says, no, it hit me in the face. And she said, no, it chose you in the face, which was the favorite part of my family.
It chose you in the face.
And then a mystical voice comes. The young maiden is correct. Everyone's like, who's that? And it's the sword talking, but it's not the sword talking. It's King Arthur and the sword talking. He says that they've all been chosen and they shouldn't give their weapons away. And then Connor's sword starts talking and it's Lancelot. And he's poo-pooing Arthur, just like Connor poo-poos.
Fell.
And Gawain's like, you should have more respect for Arthur. And Arthur's like, I can handle this. Shut up, Lancelot. So the Gawain is in the spear.
Lancelot
is in the one-handed sword. What?
I was saying what you said.
In the one-handed sword, and Arthur seems to be in the big sword. We don't know who is in the lance or the shield. And the stick doesn't talk at all. And he says, come on, is this just a stick? It's got to be Merlin, right? Like, we're all thinking it. The bow talks, and Arthur says, thank you, Palamedes, which is, I'm pretty up on my King Arthur lore. I don't recognize that one off the top.
This is what Google is for.
Yeah. I would assume one of them. I thought the bow was going to be Guinevere. It was.
He's a knight of the round table in Arthurian legend.
Well, yeah, that I think.
The Middle Eastern pagan, who later converted to Christianity.
Okay, fun.
His unrequited love for Isolde brings him into frequent conflict with Tristan.
Yes, okay, that makes sense to me. I loved the movie Tristan and Isolde when I was young, and now that you've said that, I remember Palamedes in it. But yes, I wonder if the other two are Tristan and Isolde then, because they are kind of pink and red.
Uh-huh.
But you would think one's going to be Percival, because he's like the next most famous knight after Gawain and Lancelot. But yeah, we don't know. And Arthur tells them that they need to flee and hide in their homes, that the knights are going to train them, but right now they need to hide because his agents are coming. And Connor asks who, the agents of who, and he says the agents of Mordred.
Not Mordred.
So he says, in the tomorrows to come, you will have to fight a tyrant to save the world. And that's the end of the book. Yeah. Cameron, what'd you think?
Obviously, it's my best book also. And I just had a really good time with it. Like, mm-hmm. I just thought, I mean, it's a simple setup, but I feel like it's the story that I needed right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even on Friday, right? I think it was Friday with the Nintendo Direct, right? Where, was it you? Like, you were talking, it's like, I need games of, like, struggle. I need to, like, take down an emperor or dethrone God or whatever. Like, these are the stories that I need right now. Yes. Not whatever this, like, gentle Pokey Park.
We're going to talk about the Direct later. But basically, there was a lot of, like, town-building farming sim games, which is not something I am opposed to. But it showed, like, new updates to Stardew Valley and, like, Tamagotchi Life. There was, like, six of these suckers.
And it was just like, I want to fight something.
And I was like, I am not in a cozy place, like, mentally, socially, like, ideologically. Like, I need a game about destroying an empire.
And so, but this story felt like it was that.
Yeah. Yeah. It may just be the right time for this story.
Mm-hmm. At least for me. I hope it doesn't go the way of the new champions.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't find anything about the planned run, but Tom Taylor is a pretty big name. So I'm sure they'll let him finish a run. You've got to think, right?
You got to.
So if he wants to tell at least a complete story, I'm sure they'll let him. I hope this is an ongoing that goes for a very long time, but we'll see. You seem to be looking for something.
I was looking because then in the back there was an interview with Tom Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
And he just says, like, I hope this series can run a lot longer than its first six issues, which will depend on how many people embrace it, of course. But I'd love to see these.
So there are six issues planned.
At least six.
Okay. It is not a highly pulled book, unfortunately. I hope we can spread some word and get it going. I don't know what it takes to get a successful book right now, honestly.
Yeah.
I've been kind of following what books are, like, most pulled on League of Comic Geeks lately. And I don't know. It's kind of the ones that you expect, and then, like, nothing. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know where the line is.
Yeah. Like, no one's talking about New Gods, but it's the 11th most pulled book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that good? Why are less people reading Spider-Man Miles Morales? Like,
yeah, or even like G.I. Joe, which is supposedly really good.
Yeah.
But it's like different companies, I guess, have different thresholds for what constitutes enough.
Yeah.
It's like maybe Image has a different idea than Marvel or DC.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. It's just been something I've been noticing the last few days or the last few months of, like, oh, weird. Like this new Godzilla series that I'm going to talk about today, like, no one's pulling it. And I know that's Godzilla's fairly niche.
And I mean, it's not like the market is oversaturated with 10,000 Godzilla titles.
Yeah, that's true too.
Godzilla's fighting everybody.
But I don't know. It's like, I wish I could explain it a little better. Maybe I'll work on it this week and talk about it next week. But, like, it seems like there's a couple big books and then everything else is just kind of like flounder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense. That's not what we're here to talk about right now. We can talk about that some other time.
Yeah, we can. Okay. Sorry, I was looking at League of Comic Geeks.
I am as well.
Yeah, but I thought it was really just a fun setup. I thought all the kids, I know I got like a ton of screen time.
Mm-hmm. The Farmers rivalry is the best setup part.
Yeah, but I just felt like everybody had a little bit of characterization, had a moment. Maybe the twins, not as much. The girl
gets a good moment.
Yeah, I guess that's true because he's like the leader of the quest, getting everybody hyped up for it. But his sister, not as much, or the girl in the pink.
Right.
But I'm sure their time will come.
I hope so. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's kind of a pretty classic Goonies or E.T. kind of setup.
Yeah, it's just kids going on an adventure.
Yeah, it's like kids going on an adventure, but then you throw in our theory and myth, which I'm already a sucker for. And yeah.
What more could you want?
Weird aside, for a lot of people, I probably do know, and a lot of people probably don't. I used to work at Hastings. Cameron worked there as well, not as long as I did.
Rub it in.
Hastings was a like video store. For this purposes of this, video store is the most important part. But that we carried the movie Tristan and Isolde, and every time anyone said it, even a customer, I would always read the tagline that was on the back of the DVD, which was, "Before there was Romeo and Juliet, there was Tristan and Isolde."
Just like that.
That was the tag on the back of the movie. So I would say that every time. And it had its moments of like kind of popularity.
Yeah. I never watched it.
I haven't seen it in a very long time, but.
And I don't know if Romeo and Juliet is the basis of a good love story.
Well, it was. Yep. It was on the front. It wasn't even on the back.
Wow.
Before there was Romeo and Juliet, there was Tristan and Isolde. So yeah, that's everyone's homework. Go watch Tristan and Isolde. You'll probably remember it better than me. All right. I have 5 books left.
I've got 3.
Okay. So I'll do one now. If I do one, then you do one, then I do one, then you do one, then I do one. I guess I will have to end with 2, but we can do that. That's fine.
It'll be okay.
Yeah. I don't think we have any more overlap. We might. Actually, my last book might be overlap. We'll see.
I didn't get Power Rangers Prime.
I didn't either.
Okay. I gave up on it.
Well, I got it. I thumbed through it. There was none of the team fighting as a team together, so I didn't read it.
Okay, cool. I don't feel bad then.
I got it, because when that happens, I want to catch up. But yes, I didn't really want to read.
I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. But my almost best book before I read that one is Action Comics 1090. This has been my best book, or at least close to my best book, several times now, so it shouldn't be a big surprise. But this is Mark Waid's take on Superboy, the origins of Superman, with artist Skylar Partridge. I don't know. Partridge, probably. But yeah, this was just a really solid book about Clark having a crush on Lana, Lana having a crush on Superboy, and that bumming Clark out. And then he gets beat up by the U.S. military.
Like you do.
And it's honestly pretty great. But yeah, this run of Action Comics, I think this is the 3rd in it, is a great place. We talked last week about starting places for DC. This would be great because it really is just Superman's origins. So, yeah, Action Comics 1090.
Nice. Well, I'm just going to do my other DC book, because I think it was my second place. That's Absolute Batman number 12, which you might be saying back at home listening, didn't you just talk about number 11 last week? And I'd say yes, but that was because they sold out at our shop and I had to wait. They also sold out this week, but I went to another shop because I was like, I don't want to wait. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't wait. I went and got it. And I think the biggest reason that it wasn't my best book is because it was just a little too heavy.
A little too heavy.
It was really good. Scott Snyder, I believe Nick Dragota's back on art in this one. Yes, but you know, in the last issue where I was like, I have a feeling Bane is going to turn all of Superman's friends into the villains that we know, I was right.
Batman's friends?
Yes. Who did I say?
Superman.
All of Batman's friends that he's best friends with, and Bane's going to get him and like mess him up in some way. He did. He does. Mm-hmm. It's real bad and real sad. But a very interesting take, I feel like, on Batman's rogue gallery.
A new way to break the bat.
Uh-huh.
All right. Are you done with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't want to cut you off. My next book I have 2 more DC books. Wow. Again, I am reading it, even though it was Cameron's pick of the week. But I'm enjoying it every week.
Read it.
Supergirl number 5. This book continues to delight with Silver Age antics. It's kind of the closest thing to a cozy read as possible. This one is all about Crypto teaming up with the new Super Bunny and Streaks teaming up with the new Tiny Titano, who they are now officially just calling Tiny Tano.
As they should.
And it's just, it's adorable and it's a lot of fun.
Good. I'm glad. All right. This next one, I'm not entirely sure why I picked it up because I've not read the thing that it's based on, but I picked up X-Men Age of Apocalypse.
X-Men Alpha Age of Apocalypse.
Is that,
that was the one that I also picked up.
Did you read it?
Yes. Yes. This one, I don't know why, but this is not the first issue of the series. This is the setup for the first issue in the series. So this is X-Men Alpha Age of Apocalypse, and next month, X-Men of Apocalypse. Yeah.
Comes out. Which I, overall, like, I thought it had a very, I don't remember, I don't think I ever read Age of Apocalypse or anything to do with Age of Apocalypse.
You would remember if you know.
Some of the things are familiar, but I don't think I ever read anything. But it felt like it felt very much like an homage to another time, which I enjoyed. I like the characters. I think the setup is very interesting in terms of, like, what if we're actually the right timeline and the quote-unquote correct timeline is the bad timeline? Mm-hmm. I thought that was very interesting. So I don't know. I'm sure I might continue to read it. X-Men's about to go into a really weird spot. I know last week I was like, oh no, it looks like Uncanny's going away. It's not. They're just doing like a line-wide event, but they're stopping all their regular X-Men books and doing all these weird books of like, here's X-Men in such and such future. Which I might read the one that Gail Simone's doing because I like Gail Simone. Mm-hmm. And it's about the Uncanny X-Men, basically.
Yeah. I also read this. It's by Jeff Loeb and Simone DeMille. For a long time, Age of Apocalypse was my favorite X storyline. I think One-Eyed Cyclops is way cooler than Two-Eyed Cyclops. And I love Two-Eyed Cyclops. I am not a Cyclops hater.
Have you seen the Cyclops in the new thing?
I saw it in the preview page on this book.
I thought he looked cool.
He does. I don't know. I picked this up because it was, when I read the thing, it was like the X-Men from Age of Apocalypse come into like the regular world to save their timeline or whatever. And I was really down for that. I don't feel, if this is going to tie into this big event, I don't feel that that is what I'm going to get, and I don't care about it. Yes, the Cyclops does look cool, with kind of like the stone mask.
Yeah, he's got a beard, beefy.
Yeah. I don't know if I will continue to read this either. It just really depends on where it goes.
Yeah.
I love Age of Apocalypse. So, like, a few years back, they did a thing where the original X-Men came into the timeline, and they were like their own X team, like kind of upholding the original ideals of the X-Men kind of deal. And I read some of that and really enjoyed it.
Which one?
I think it was called X-Men Red, but I don't remember.
Okay.
It was just a few years back. It was like maybe 3 years before Krakoa started. And I had just seen that there was a book about the original X-Men team, but in the modern day. And it wasn't like an alternate world. Like they were, it was just an alternate Scott, Jean, Bobby, Hank, and Warren. It was just the five of them, and they were pulled from like being active for like, I think, a year.
Oh, was that? I mean, they did that a long time ago, didn't they?
I mean, if by a long time ago, you mean like 2015.
I remember it when it wasn't all new X-Men. No, it was all new X-Men. Was that 2015?
Yeah.
2012, like, 2012 to 2015.
Well, there was the event where they showed up, but then there were like, they operated as just an extra team in the Marvel Universe for a while.
Oh, okay.
For a while after that, before they got sent back. And that's kind of what I was hoping this would be.
Uh-huh.
Was like the Age of Apocalypse, X-Men like escape their dying world, and now they're just going to operate as a team of X-Men in the modern day. I don't feel like that's what this is going to be. So I don't know how interested in this book I am. I'm also just really uninterested in the team they ended up sending back.
Uh-huh.
Blink from Age of Apocalypse is one of the best characters. But we'll see. I might pick it up again.
Morph had a big, like, Deadpool feel to him. Is that...
Yeah, which he does. He does that sometimes.
Okay. He's very much... Like, he quoted Miley Cyrus at one point.
Yes. That he came in like a wrecking ball. But, yeah. So, all that being said, I just don't know. I'm on the fence about this book. But this one, it's a fun introduction.
Uh-huh.
It's fun to see these characters kind of back together.
The art's fun. The art's really good.
Yeah. And again, I just... Cyborg, Forge, Morph, Wild Child...
Sabretooth.
I do like Age of Apocalypse Sabretooth. All being led by Gambit. The only one I really care about is Gambit, Blink, and Sabretooth. I don't know. Maybe.
That's like half of them.
I'm like trying to convince myself as I'm talking about it.
Good job.
This isn't like me reviewing it to you. This is me talking about it
to myself. He's reviewing it to himself.
All right, we both kind of did that one, so why don't you go again, since I have two left.
Well, this will just be my last one.
Oh, okay, I'll do one more then.
You do one more, then I'll do one, because I know we don't have the same one.
No, we don't. Aquaman, number 9. Feels like this book just started, but we're already at 9. It's fine. They ended the last storyline very abruptly, and I think it's because I need to get ready for DC KO. Aquaman is now the Avatar of the Blue. So he's kind of like Swamp Thing is for the Green. So he's kind of like got godlike world powers. And this is just him coming back. In the last few issues, he found Atlantis, but everything had been magically aged forward. So he had an adult daughter and the rest of Atlantis was dead. In this one, he's like, well, I've got to take care of my daughter. And I've got to protect the oceans and what remains, because there's like Atlantean colonies and stuff. I've got to protect the rest of them. But then at the end of this, Mira is there and she's with their daughter. And I don't know what all that's about. So it's going to be interesting. But it even like says, like, we begin the march towards DC KO. So I think the last story was probably cut a little short. I think it could have maybe used an issue or two to kind of flesh out what was going on.
Events, man. They just ruin everything.
Yeah, they kind of do sometimes. But Aquaman, like, even kind of jokes in this that he's got a new Justice League Blue. He's like, Batman, they're not your Justice League Blue. They're my team. But it's Zan from the Wonder Twins, Captain Nemo from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, the Lady of the Lake, his grown-up daughter, and an Atlantean wizard who tried to take over Atlantis.
Black Lightning could take them all down. Zip-zap.
Probably. But it's kind of cool that now Aquaman is back. Lori Lamaris, Superman's college girlfriend, who's also a mermaid, is also part of his Justice League Blue. So this is an interesting. It's interesting. I feel like the last two issues were so rushed that I really wish this would have been a slower issue. But it's like, okay, and now they're back in the regular world instead of the world of the blue that they were in. Okay, now we have to have someone possess Superman so we can show that Aquaman's now more powerful than Superman. Okay, now he's got to talk to the Justice League. Okay, now we've got to reveal that he thinks everyone in Atlantis is dead, but they aren't. Okay, we're done. Yeah, it really did. It felt very abrupt. And then when I saw the march towards DC KO begin at the end, I was like, ah, that's what's going on here. But this almost was my best book for the simple reason that it has a Marvel style previously on page with character description.
It's beautiful.
We've been talking about DC book readings.
Learn this. Do this.
And this was by Jeremy Adams and John Timm.
Thank you, Jeremy and John.
Yes, for that.
Jeremy. Thank you. Well, my last book does have one of those pages too, because it's a Marvel book, and that's what they do. It's Captain America 3.
Oh, nice. I didn't even realize that came out.
I hadn't either, and then I looked. By Chip Zdarsky, with art by Valerio Schitti. An unfortunate last name, but the art is anything but.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good looking book.
It is a very good looking book. I said in the last one that it very much seems to be about the ongoing effects of on just like a person of the endless wars of America. Uh-huh. And it still very much is about that. And it's just, I think it's looking a lot at the legacy of America, and almost it's fitting, cause I didn't watch the video till today. But just like the commitment to keeping the status quo as opposed to doing the things that are really necessary to bring about change. Uh-huh. And throughout the whole book, Captain America is having this discussion with Dr. Doom, who he's like showing him around Latveria and just like, my people are taken care of.
Well, like regular Captain America or this new one?
The regular one. The new one's trying to rescue some hostages, but he's also having it's also a flashback of when he was in Iraq.
Okay.
As things were starting to go south.
There's two, so I need to.
There's two, yes. But like Steve Rogers is talking with Dr. Doom, who's basically talking to him about, you know, you thought what you were doing, like you think you're doing something good, but I built something better. Like my people are safe and they're taken care of and all this stuff. But it's really just about hope. Captain America being a light, yeah, but I thought it was very poignant and touching, but also very heavy in this current moment. Mm-hmm.
If you're wondering what video Cameron was talking about earlier, and if you search Tad Stormer on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok.
That's S-T-O-E-R-M-E-R.
M-E-R. You will find a PhD who studies resistance movements. And he talks, and he has a really great 3-minute, I think, video on our current moment that we are in right now, with the Charlie of it all, and America's relationship to resistance movements.
It's not a very good relationship, in case you were wondering.
Yes. That's what Cameron was talking about, and it sounds like it is very poignant for what he's talking about.
Yeah. But it's good.
Good. My last one is Godzilla number 2 from the Kaisei Godzilla universe. I'm going to give this book like one more issue. It's fine. The art's pretty good.
Is this the one where they're the team of Godzilla fighters?
Yes, that's the team of Godzilla fighters. This is supposed to be a pretty big initiative. And I feel like I like Tim Seeley. Maybe I don't. But it's just a book about the kaiju. There's tons of kaiju in the world. They've basically destroyed the world. And there are some mutated people that can kind of like take in kaiju energy. And they've formed a team to fight the kaiju of those people. I want it to be better than it is. So I'm going to give this one more because I love the idea of telling a bunch of stories on this world. I think it's a very interesting world. But right now we're trying to focus on too many characters. I don't know what any of the parameters of like what they can do is, and that's kind of annoying. I just don't think they're doing a great job of like building out that world that has such a good concept.
Mm-hmm.
I want this to be the future of Godzilla. Right now, it is not for me.
Bummer.
But yes, that was my last book.
All right. Well, there you have it, everyone. We've done it. We've talked through all the comic books that ever were.
The ones we read this week, anyway.
Yeah. Which is never all of them. For I do not have infinite time or money.
Yes. Yes. I think I have some pretty small weeks coming, but this was an unexpectedly big, which I feel like last week was also an unexpectedly big.
I feel like traditionally my last weeks of a month are my bigger ones. Yeah, it's like I have 5 this coming week and then 4.
You knew that so very fast.
I'm looking at it.
Oh, do you actually like have a pull list?
I have an app.
Oh, I haven't actually made a pull list on there yet.
That's how I keep track.
I make one the day before I go.
Oh, no, wait, it's just 4 and 4.
Man, so far in the big books of next week, I don't seem to have anything.
Some that I'm very excited about.
I wish I was reading magic. Marvel, ship to us.
You know you want to.
I just feel like our comic book store keeps getting kind of screwed over by Marvel a little bit. Yeah, I think I have 2 books next week.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
3 books. 3 books.
See, you already have 50% more than you thought.
That's true. You're not wrong. Are either of us going to read the DCKO Ashcan LCSD 2025 Special Edition?
No.
I don't even know what that is.
An Ashcan's usually like a preview, almost. Not like a preview, but like a before the actual release.
Okay.
So it's not anything that you probably wouldn't get in the regular.
I like the idea of DCKO. I'm just struggling with it. But with that, let's jump to our B segment. Okay. We have 2 quick things. One is bracket.
Uh-huh. I'm going to be honest, I didn't make one.
Cameron.
I'm sorry. It's been a trying time.
It has. I guess we have next week. We can do it next week.
I mean, I can do it on the fly.
You're just going to do it on the fly?
I'm going to do what my heart tells me.
Okay. Have at it.
I need to pull it up. DCKO bracket.
Cameron says, I won't do it if I don't do it right now.
It's true. You got to know these things about yourself.
We'll move listener mail to next week.
This is why is it not showing me the full thing? Okay, here we go. This is my bracket where Superman wins.
Okay.
Okay, Superman over Giganta. I think we're going to see... What's the relationship between Power Girl and Superman?
Right now, not very different than Supergirl and Superman.
Are they cousins?
Well, Power Girl's from a different Earth that doesn't exist anymore.
Or a different Krypton? Or a different Earth?
Well, like Earth 2.
Okay. I think we'll see Power Girl over Captain Atom. Guy Gardner's going to beat Firestorm. He's got chutzpah. And I'm going to say Jay Garrick beats Cheetah. In the second round for those, Superman's going to beat Power Girl. I think that Guy Gardner's going to beat Jay Garrick. Then we'll have Superman versus Guy Gardner for the final of that quarter. And Superman win. But it'll be close. Let's see. This next one, I think we will... Aquaman and King Shark. I'm going to upset. I'm going to say King Shark's going to win.
Oh, my.
You just wouldn't expect it, you know?
Are you writing these down so we can see who wins?
No.
Okay.
I'm going fast. I should write them down. Superman. Power Girl. Sorry, everyone listening at home. This is riveting audio. Guy.
If we're just quiet, can't you just edit it out?
I suppose. I'll be quiet. Okay, I'm going to have King Shark over Aquaman. I think Hawkman. I feel good about that. Lex Luthor over Black Lightning. And then I think the Demon's going to beat Supergirl. I want him to, is why. And then I think Hawkman over King Shark. And then Lex over the Demon. And then Lex wins the round. So that's that. On the other side, Wonder Woman versus Starro. My money's on Wonder Woman. My phone auto-corrected Wonder to Wonder Pick because I talk about you Pokemon with you too much. And then Lobo over Plastic Man. I think Swamp Thing is going to win. And then Cyborg.
Okay.
Then I think it's more interesting for Lobo to win over Wonder Woman. I don't really have a basis for any of these things. We talked early in this show about how, you know, power scaling and all of that. It just doesn't matter. Like, who cares? And I think Swamp Thing over Cyborg and Lobo. I think Lobo takes it.
Okay.
I didn't expect that until this moment. even though he shouldn't, Batman will win. And then Damian Wayne will win. I think Barda will win. And who's the one under Harley Quinn? Mine's cut off.
The one under Harley Quinn is
Metamorpho. Harley Quinn. Huh?
Metamorpho.
Metamorpho versus Harley Quinn. Man, what a matchup.
That's the match of the bracket.
I know. You know, I think Harley's going to win.
Okay.
And Batman beats Damian. I think Harley beats Barda. She shouldn't, but she will. And then Batman comes out on top. Bit of a surprise. I think that Superman beats Lex, Batman beats Lobo, Superman beats Batman. I have spoken.
You think it's going to be Superman-Batman finale?
I think so.
Okay.
It feels a bit cliche, but it's where we are.
Yeah. I am hoping, I am hopeful that we will get a actual winner to this. Just because I think that is fun. Just because I think that's fun. You know, the first Alien versus Predator movie, when it kind of turns out that they both kind of win and kind of lose, is kind of boring.
Yeah, it's just a cop out.
If you're gonna do like full brackets, like let's do some brackets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a different take than you do.
How dare you?
Well, I was a little worried that we were gonna be kind of the same. I kind of did mine based on what the next most interesting matchup would be, more than like who I thought would win the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I also have, like, just for example, I also have Batman winning. Come on. I just drew lines from bracket to bracket, and I'm trying to get them to come up real quick. Where are we? Okay, here we are. I got my lines. Okay, so I also have Superman winning over Giganta. I feel like that one's obvious. I actually feel like both of these matches are fairly interesting against Superman, Captain Atom, and Power Girl. Both of them kind of have a history. Both of them kind of have, like, a weird history together. So I have Power Girl winning. So Power Girl versus Superman. And then I thought it would be more interesting to have Guy Gardner and Cheetah win. Mm-hmm. Because he's like a famous womanizer. And
she's a famous woman.
I do think Cheetah will win that. And, or no, Guy Gardner will win that. I'm so sorry. I think Guy will win that because I think Superman versus Guy is a kind of a classic, like the flawed hero versus
the ideal
hero. Yeah,
the Justice Gang.
And then I have Aquaman beating King Shark and Hawkman beating Connor Hawk, because I think Aquaman versus Hawkman is a really interesting fight. Oh wait, I need to finish the bracket. I'm so sorry. And then Guy beats Cheetah, Superman beats Power Girl, Superman beats Guy, and takes that one.
You basically had already said that.
Yeah, but I think Aquaman versus Hawkman, they're both like warrior kings.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's a really interesting fight, so I have that. And then Lex Luthor versus Supergirl. Lex Luthor gets to take down a Kryptonian. I feel like he would love that. And then I actually have Hawkman facing Lex Luthor next, because I think that's like battle strategy versus like just general intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lex going to the end, which I did for some reason. I drew it from Hawkman, but I know I meant Lex, because Lex versus Superman.
It's what it has to be, right?
Yeah. If Superman's going to get here, I think it has to be Lex. So I drew that wrong. I'm going to have to erase it. And then Wonder Woman over Starro. Feel like that's obvious. I went Plastic Man. He's basically the Toon Force, and I feel like he will frustrate Diana. So silly Toony versus very serious warrior woman. I just felt like that was a fun fight. And Swamp Thing versus Cyborg, nature versus technology, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anyone beating Swamp Thing. So I've got Swamp Thing coming out of this bracket, fighting Wonder Woman in the final. And then obviously I think Batman versus the Red Hood is the next most interesting fight. So Batman beating Star Sapphire, Red Hood beating Damian Wayne, and Then I have Zatanna beating Barda. This little section was the hardest for me to figure out what I thought was the most interesting. But I think Zatanna versus Metamorpho would just be a really fun fight. Like her with all the different magics and him changing into all the shapes. I just thought was good. And then most people probably don't know this, but Metamorpho's start as a hero was on the Outsiders created by Batman. So Metamorpho versus Batman, I think, is an interesting fight. And I think Batman gives up the goat against Swamp Thing. I think, you know, he's got a plan. He's got a reason to do it. But my final is Swamp Thing versus Superman.
Oh, interesting.
I think, you know, Swamp Thing's super powerful. I think he kind of has a similar moral conviction to Superman. His is just about plants, and Superman's is about people. So that's my bracket where Superman wins.
Sounds good.
Do you want to do the bracket where Superman loses next week?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
Because where does he lose? That's what's important.
I haven't done, but you can think about yours.
He loses to Giganta. Everyone's very surprised.
Giganta just grows real big and smacks him. He can't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, big woman. Big woman hits him. Hits by big woman.
Mm-hmm.
I would die also.
And I also feel like DC is always trying to make Swamp Thing a bigger deal.
Uh-huh.
So Swamp Thing winning this tournament, or making it to the final of this tournament, maybe winning, who knows? I feel like it's just a good, like, would be a good launch for a new Swamp Thing title. So maybe I'm just wanting that, but who knows?
I heard there's a potential that they're re-releasing. There was a run of Swamp Thing where he traveled back in time and became the cross that Jesus was crucified on.
I did not know that.
That it was never released for somewhat obvious reasons. But apparently there's rumblings that it might be finally released.
Interesting. I would read it.
Just sort of a funny little adventure.
I realized pretty late into making mine that it's fairly sexist. And I'm sorry, but I think comic book writers are sexist.
He has a point.
I'm not saying who I would want to win. I'm saying who I think will win.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have to look up how to grade brackets when this all actually happens.
Yeah, we have no idea. We're just a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, no clue.
I think if you get a matchup correct, you get a point.
But like getting matchups correct later on has to be worth more points, right?
Probably. But also you're just like, if you get your first one wrong, like if I'm like Giganta wins and I have her going all the way, then I'm gonna be missing out a lot when Superman beats Giganta.
That's true. So maybe it is just matchups.
So it's not even just so much that they're weighted as more. It's just like it becomes increasingly unlikely to even get those points.
Wow. How do people do this?
I think they don't actually like it.
Oh, okay. That's pretty much what I assume at pretty much all times. Like, you don't really like this.
Nobody could like this.
I had a joke with my friends because I got really into the Pokemon World Championships this year. I was like... I don't know what's going on with sports. I mean, no one could like that, but this is amazing.
Our friends didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't get it.
They're like, how could you possibly say that against sports? Sports, Chance.
Yes, the greatness of sports.
You absolute fool.
Sports.
Sports.
The ultimate.
Did we have something else?
Oh, we were going to talk about the show.
Oh, the Nintendo show?
That's not actually what I thought, but that might be better.
What show were you talking about?
The show we went to see.
Oh, right.
We went to see a show.
This feels a bit too topical. You know, no one else was there or has a way to be there.
Well, yeah, I was just, you know.
I guess he's on tour. We can talk about both.
It's nerd media.
It's our show. Chance and I went to see Adam Conover.
Yeah, we went to see Adam Conover's new stand-up special, Divorced Dad Energy.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah, that's what he's calling the tour. He doesn't know what he's going to call the special when it comes out on TV.
Mm.
Wow, I just said that like the oldest man that has ever existed on the face of the earth.
When it comes out on TV.
When it comes out on the picture box. Actually, that's ironically endearing. The TV makes me even older.
Sure. But no, we went my first time at a comedy club.
It's true. It's like my second. So
I had a cheeseburger quesadilla. That was okay.
Yeah. The food there is never great.
That wasn't the point. That's how they make their money.
Although the pretzels were.
Yeah. I thought they were good. But it overall, it was just really funny.
Yeah. I know Adam Conover for mostly political commentary, but everyone knows him from Adam Ruins Everything.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that
he was basically like, this was my thing for so long. And I just realized it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah. I was like walking in, I was like, I don't think it'll be very raunchy. He's mostly like a political comedian.
And basically like a third of the way through the set, it was just like, yeah, I'm basically a nihilistic hedonist now.
Yeah. Yep. He basically did say that. He was like, yeah, I mostly tell political jokes, and I know that's probably what many of you were expecting. And I was like, yeah, it is. He goes, it doesn't really matter, and it doesn't feel good right now, so I'm just going to tell jokes about sex like other comedians. I was like, oh, okay. He's like,
everything's real bad.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, his basic point was like, everything's real bad, and comedy doesn't seem to be making a difference. So, which is so untrue, because he still puts, like, he put out a big political show today about not Furbies. What are the new Furbies?
Laboo-boos?
Laboo-boos, yes.
What did he say about Laboo-boos?
Basically, he was tracing the history of things like Laboo-boo, and it turns out that during recessions, people spend money on stupid things like Laboo-boos. Because
recessing very hard.
Well, he's like, because people start thinking like money doesn't matter. Like, I can't save and make my life better, so I might as well just
buy this little thing to make me feel something.
Yeah, that is almost entirely what he said,
which is fair. Just a little treat, you know.
It was based on a lot of research, and I actually realized that like I've kind of been doing that. Like just about every weekend for the last like 4 weeks, I've bought at least some Cardfight Vanguard cards for me and my son. It's like, shouldn't we be saving? I'm like, does it even matter anymore? I don't know. Like, does it?
Elon Musk is projected to be a trillionaire. Money's fake.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. What does any of this matter anymore?
I'd appreciate that the Chicago Pope said, that's a bad thing.
The trillionaire?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But he's not even real. It's so arbitrary. Like, they're like inflating the stock that he has to make it seem like he is. It doesn't make any sense.
It's not like he has $1 trillion on hand.
Yeah, and like no one could loan him $1 trillion, so he can't even like get it by leveraging his assets. Yeah, it's weird. I don't want to talk about it. We are also hedonistic nihilists now.
Laboo-boos, man.
Laboo-boos.
That's all I care about.
I don't know. Nikki had to tell me what a Laboo-boo was.
Those freaking ugly things.
Yeah, I listened to it as a podcast, even though it was a YouTube video. So I didn't even get to see them.
You're lucky.
But yeah, Nick, I was like, what are Laboo-boos? And Nikki had to tell me.
Well, I'm just with the kids. You know, I'm with the people, the tastemakers.
Mm-hmm. Do they all have a Laboo-boo?
No, but they talk about them a lot. Or just say the term. 24 karat Laboo-boo. In our club, one student was like, I'm going to draw a 24-carat Laboo-boo made of 6-7s. And it was just like the outline was just 6-7 written over and over and over again. And I was ready to scream.
I was actually pretty excited. I was like, oh, he's going to figure out how to do it with only 6-7s?
No.
That seems...
Just writing 6-7 over and over and over again.
Got it.
We endure, you know?
We endure. We had annoying things to our teachers as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we did. We quoted Napoleon Dynamite a lot.
We did. Nikki said she was at the park with Asher. We didn't have school today. This is just something I'm telling Cameron on the podcast. Moore didn't have school today, and we didn't know that, so we like got ready for school.
Why did they not have school today?
Had teacher meetings or something like that.
Oh.
It was on the calendar, but like no one got reminded, and it wasn't like a special day or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Asher there, and surprise, no one.
Yes, September 15th, a special day.
Nikki took Asher to the park while I worked, and she said, I just heard some kid exclaiming like, oh no, but all he said was Ohio.
Oh, children.
So I just imagined a kid going, Ohio!
I love the kids.
He also said the kids were trying to, I was just very proud of my son. He said the kids were trying to slow Asher down and tag by taking candy wrappers out of the pocket and like throwing them at him, like to distract him. But Asher just kept stopping the game, rolling his eyes, picking up the candy wrappers and like throwing them away. It's like, good job, bud.
Yeah. Captain Planet's proud of you.
He's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, yes.
Adam ruins everything. It was
Adam Rubin. He's very funny. When the comedy special comes out, or if he's coming near you, I do recommend it. The non-binary that he is touring with is very funny. One of their first jokes was, I'm non-binary, so I'm not a man or a woman. Or as my friends like to say, she goes by they. and I just thought that was very funny.
It was very funny.
I've actually thought several times to myself, you know, she goes by that. When something like doesn't make any sense. I wanted to say that we did that as friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very good time. Don't take your kid to it.
No, don't do that.
He has a whole joke about not being the person. He never wants to be the one to plan his own orgy. He was supposed to be invited to one.
Yeah.
So, makes sense. It was a funny joke.
Do we want to talk about the Nintendo Direct at all?
Sure. We should talk about it. I don't have a ton to say.
No, overall, I found it to be a bit lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it is the 40th anniversary of Mario. And so they were like, and here's a bunch of Mario stuff. But it like wasn't
any Mario stuff anyone would care about?
Much, yeah.
I guess the Mario movie is going to be Mario Galaxy, which seems soon.
Yes. You know, I don't make these decisions. And they're re-releasing Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 on Switch.
Yes, for $70.
That's ridiculous.
I guess it's a pack of both of them for $70, but still.
Still. And there's a Yoshi game, but overall I was just like, okay, enough with the Mario. It was like a full 20 minutes.
New Mario Tennis.
Oh yeah.
It seems like the racket is the big gimmick this time. Rackets give you special powers.
Mm-hmm. I've never been a big Mario sports person.
I've enjoyed Mario Golf quite a bit. Although I did not play the last one.
It's like they could have given us a Golden Sun game, but instead they gave us more Mario Tennis.
Well, that's because no matter how badly Mario Tennis sells, it sells better than Golden Sun did.
And that's us. That's an us problem.
It's true. It was Mario Tennis and then
Yoshi.
Not a lot else.
Like, in the Mario thing?
Huh?
In the Mario of it all?
No.
Or the whole show?
In the whole show.
Yeah. The only thing that I was really super excited about, we got a release date for Hades 2, which is pretty cool. Which I'm excited about because I really loved Hades 1.
I have 30 hours in Hades 2 already, so that did not even
register to me. Well, you shut your face. But Fire Emblem, Fortune's Weave.
Yes, I thought
I'm already so excited. Friday, that was all I could think about.
I thought we were going to build up to
it. I just built up to it, buddy.
Yes, Fortune's Weave seems to in some way be related to Three Kingdoms. I don't think we know how. A lot of people online were like, oh, okay, this is the prequel to Three Houses. I'm like, what? Are you drunk?
Yeah.
Because we learned nothing about this game from the trailer, except what it's going to look like. There seems to be three protagonists. I don't know if that means that...
Three, like, playthroughs?
Yeah, I don't know if that means, like, kind of like the houses are in Three Houses, that you get to choose, like, a faction, or if those are just, like, the three primary characters of the story.
Uh-huh.
But there seems to be, like, three main characters, a boy with a magic gem in his hand, a queen, and, like, a mysterious magic guy.
You know, your normal Fire Emblem stuff.
Well... I actually kind of quite a bit different. I
guess usually, because usually your lord, you don't just have a guy.
Yeah.
But I just meant like a queen and a guy with magic.
Well, yeah, but it's, she's like a foreign queen, like a very like African coded.
I mean, even the boy seems to have dreadlocks, but he's That's not true. Dark-skinned at all.
That's true. He seemed a bit Arab to me. Like his dress was kind of Arab coded. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sort of a, yeah, something like that. And he can ride around on animals.
From what, yeah, and then the magic knight guy, it seems to be full magic, but he's kind of wearing armor. He was much more classic. But kind of, I would have thought he was a villain if we didn't see, like, direct gameplay of him, like, being controlled by the player character.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he has that energy.
Yeah, he reminded me of the boy prince who becomes kind of the unwitting villain for a little while in Sacred Stone. Lion?
Leah. Yeah.
Just in appearance-wise.
Uh-huh. He also kind of made me think of, I can't remember, was it Leo in Birth and Fates? Of, you know, the four kids from the bad guy side, quote unquote, who was the magician. He was the mage character.
Yeah.
But more physical.
Yeah, I don't remember Fates very well. But it looks cool. It looks like there's a like an army rush feature, which I know we've seen before, but it's still kind of cool. Yes. We saw the boy, the, like I said, he's kind of Arab coded. With the stone in his hand, we saw him use like an attack with that stone while he was on the map. I doubt it will be his main weapon, but although stones, magic stones is a pretty common weapon.
Uh-huh.
And we saw the other guy like teleport and use magic.
Yep, I'm just here for all of it.
Yeah.
Like the second it popped up, I was like, is this what I think it is? And I'm like, this is fixing me.
There was like an arena, but it kind of looked like a Pokeball to me. So I thought it was going to be some spin-off Pokemon game.
I'm so glad it was not. Because we got a spin-off Pokemon game.
Dude, if they did Pokemon Conquest, but switch to graphics, and it was like Roman times.
That would be pretty cool.
Do you know how much I would just like ball out on that game? I mean, Pokemon Conquest was just Fire Emblem with Pokemon instead of...
And feudal units. Japan.
Yeah, so... But... I'm just saying, like, if it had been, because the whole premise of this game seems to be you're fighting in some kind of like large warfare gladiatorial games.
Mm-hmm. Like, at least in part.
Yeah, at least in part.
Which, sign me up.
Yeah, yeah. I dig it. Do you want to talk about like your hopes for the game, or are you good?
My hopes, I already feel, because one thing I really didn't like in Fire Emblem Engage, which was the most recent Fire Emblem game, is the character designs are what I would call Genshin-like.
Mm.
Like, if you're familiar with the game, dear listener, like Genshin Impact, like Honkai Star Rail, like there's just a certain visual look to all of the characters, where there's just like
a true over the top,
over-designed, also all very skinny, like the same body shape.
Okay.
For the most part. And I felt like in Engage, they all had that look, which makes sense because the main character designer for Engage was the Genshin character designer.
Oh.
But I just did not appreciate it. And the character designs in Fortune's Weave, Fire Emblem, we'll just call it Fefwa.
Okay.
Fire Emblem, Fortune's Weave, Fefwa. They look and feel right.
Yeah, yeah, they seem to. I didn't. None of them raised anything. I tend to enjoy over-designed characters. I mean, it depends on the context, right? I don't want a super crazy cast if I'm telling like a pretty down-to-earth story. But yes, I enjoyed the characters in this quite a bit.
Well, it's like in the last one, you know, your main, the Lord guy, was like the half red hair, half blue hair with the different colored eyes. Mm-hmm. But with the way the characters were designed and the different colored eyes, you always looked cross-eyed. Like, I feel like the main character looked cross-eyed at all times. Not that there's anything wrong with being cross-eyed, unless you're the director of the FBI.
I don't get that joke.
Director of the FBI. I think he has a lazy eye.
Okay.
He's the one who said he'd see Charlie Kirk and Valhalla, brother.
Again, no one deserves to die from gun violence, but the world is a better place without said person. Wish he wouldn't have died. Not super sad that he did that. Okay, enough of that.
enough of that. But it just looked cross-eyed at all times. And I just like, why is this the way we go? And there's story reasons, I suppose. They're not good. I don't feel like the story was all that good. So I'm hoping that we have like a good, interesting, intriguing story. The combat looks right. Everything just like feels from just that, you know, two and a half minutes or whatever that we got. I'm just like, okay, this is the right direction.
Yeah. I agree with you. It all looked great. Again, I didn't mind the overdesigned characters in Engage as much. I didn't play Engage. So there is that. Maybe I would have been.
You do have my copy of it.
Do I? I'll have to find it.
You can find my PlayStation while you're looking.
Oh, it's true. I didn't know I had that either.
The lesson here is don't loan Chance any of your things because he'll forget that he has them.
Why do I have your PlayStation again?
So you could play Cold Steel 1 and 2, but then shortly after I lent it to you, you bought a Steam Deck.
So I've had it for a while then.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. That tells me where I should look for it at least.
All right. We're in the right direction. The Nintendo Direct overall didn't care for the show that much, but
I did not get to tell my hopes for Fire Emblem.
Was good. Oh, tell us your hopes.
Cameron, that was so rude.
I'm sorry.
I liked the trailer. I had some concerns. I really hope that they don't try to change Fire Emblem too much. I do feel like while I loved entries like Three Houses, I do think there's a point where you can change Fire Emblem so much that it's not Fire Emblem anymore. So I do hope there's like classic classes, that there's not like, I don't know, the three characters seemed maybe a little too unique. And maybe that's just them, and they're the lords, and everyone else is the standard classes. But I like the standard classes. I don't want them to go away.
Mm-hmm. The classes are always the fun part.
Yeah, it's kind of a similar thing to why I don't like Final Fantasy VII as much as most people do. I like it when characters have classes and feel distinct. Even in Fire Emblem, reclassing people, like they're better and worse in some classes. So you could have two people that are the same class and they play drastically differently. But yes, so I worried about that a little bit, but I'm not going to say like that's a thing. So I hope that they have regular classes. I was real worried when it looked like it was going to be like gladiatorial games, that this was going to be another like summoning Fire Emblem characters from the past to fight in the games.
That doesn't seem to be the thing.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be the thing. It seems like they're really going in a story. So I am actually very much hoping for a Three Houses style faction system where you choose your faction and you get to either be the lord in that or help lead the team. That's just what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping like the boy, the dark mage, and the queen are all like choosable gladiators, and you have to build up your sect of the of the game. I hope they do that a little bit better than
Three Houses.
Than Three Houses, yeah, because it's like the Gold Deer route was clearly like the canon route with the most stuff. The Black Eagles had like two kind of pretty underwhelming routes, and the church route and the blue lions. Thank you.
How dare you?
Golden Deer. You're right. The Blue Lions were just kind of like normal playthroughs. They weren't as small as the two Black Eagle playthroughs, but they were. There was just clearly more in the Golden Deer, which I chose the Golden Deer right at the very beginning, so I shouldn't be annoyed at it.
Yeah. But this is my thought on the, because the traditional like Fire Emblem colors is like the good guys are blue, the bad guys are red, and so it's like you play. Like I started with the Blue Lions, and it's like this feels like a classic Fire Emblem like story. And then I played Black Eagles, and it felt like the inverse of that, because you're like playing the red team. And then the Golden Deer, it was like here's kind of this group that's in the middle, but you're really getting the full story, the full scope. They're like going even further than what a normal thing might be, and like subverting those expectations.
Well, I do feel like the Golden Deer were the more classic heroes because they were the underdogs. They were from the place that really didn't have royalty, where peasants could be just as wealthy as. So I feel like thematically. They were Fire Emblem heroes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in reality, they were also.
Yeah. So it kind of makes sense. But yes, yeah. I would like, if there are factions, which I do hope there are because I like factions. Everyone loves to be sorted into a house. If you think you don't, you're lying. I think, honestly, being sorted into a Harry Potter house is more important than Harry Potter itself at this point. And people love to like ascribe meaning to lightsaber colors so that they know like which one's theirs. They like love to be sorted into it. So I like factions. Give me three factions that I can choose from, but make each one feel like a proper full story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause the problem with three houses is like you play the first half of the game the exact same
mm-hmm.
three times or yes. four times if you're doing the split in the one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a lot.
Yeah, agreed.
I have beaten that game three times, though.
I've only beaten it twice.
Weak.
I did the full Black Eagles run after I did the
Golden Deer.
And honestly, the full Black Eagles run was so kind of pathetic.
Yeah, it just felt very short.
Well, they take away your base from you.
Uh-huh.
So there's only so much they can do. For it.
You're just like, here I am in this secret hole in the ground.
Yeah, and you don't even really know, like, for some reason you never confront the, like, behind-the-scenes evil. Like, I get it that the Blue Lions weren't in a place to discover the behind-the-scenes evil, so I kind of get not getting it there.
It's because Claude is the best one.
Well, they're just the ones that would question the status quo the most.
Mm-hmm. Which you should do.
Yeah. So anyway, those are my hopes. I hope for, I guess my hopes are, I don't want it to change from Classic Fire Emblem too much while still giving us new things.
Isn't that always the hope? Mario's always going to jump on a thing.
Well,
Link's always going to swing a sword. Fire Emblem's always got to have classes.
Yeah.
It's not right.
Yeah.
You know, unless Mario's like driving a car or swinging a tennis racket.
I was just thinking, like, we saw a whole Mario Presents part of that didn't have Mario jumping on anything.
Yeah, what a waste.
And the last Zelda game is about Zelda not swinging a sword.
Yeah, but I said Link swings a sword.
That's true.
And if I didn't, I did now.
All right, let's move on to the last part real quick.
Uncles, one more thing.
One more thing.
And this, I think, will be pretty quick because
we've gone too long already.
We've gone very long. But I just finished up a game this weekend.
He almost didn't. I almost didn't.
Yeah, you didn't say anything.
I told you don't fall behind. Don't do it.
You said I'm going in to watch Demon Slayer and I hate your guts.
Wow, way to spoil my one more thing.
I didn't say anything. Wow, we text a lot sometimes.
Sometimes.
I'm trying to think. It doesn't matter. Bravely Default. Overall, kind of a mid game.
But you beat it.
I did beat it. The story is nothing, almost nothing to write home about. It does something that's very interesting, but it goes about it in the most absolutely mind-numbingly boring way. That essentially has you, because you know it's like a standard. They're like, we're going back to Final Fantasy, but we're not calling it Final Fantasy. But we're going to do all the Final Fantasy things, and we're going to have crystals, and you have to do the thing at all four crystals, and that's like the first four chapters of the game is like each crystal, and then the following four chapters 5 through 8, are you doing that again? And not like, oh, I'm going to each one again one more time. No, it's like chapter 5, you're doing all four again and fighting the bosses. Chapter 6, you're doing it all again and fighting the bosses. Chapter 7, you're doing it all again and fighting the bosses. Chapter 8, you're doing it all again and fighting the bosses. And there's a reason for it, but why did they have to do it that way?
You could have just chosen something else.
Yeah, there's other ways. And then there's like a secret bad ending you can get that I did. That was pretty cool. The final ending is like, it is cool, but there's a boss right before the final boss. It's like, you go, like, I'm going to the final boss, and you fight a boss right before it. That was just like so unfair that I fought it probably like 10 times and I couldn't beat it. And I'm like, my setup is good. Like I can do, I can deal damage. I can heal. I can buff. I can block. I can do all the things. I can just do extreme burst damage and like burst them down pretty well. And I just could not do it. It didn't make any sense. And then I felt like I just cheesed it. And then I cheesed the final boss too, which I don't feel like I needed to as much. But I was like, I'm already in the zone of playing it in this certain way. Which it just felt a bit underwhelming in a game that just values experimentation to make that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the mechanically, it's very tight and the classes are cool. And I already have the second one. I've played some of it, and I'll probably play it again at some point. Not now.
Oh, it's like you're just going to go straight into it?
Certainly not now.
Mm-hmm. Too many games coming out now. I need to beat Persona 3 as soon as possible.
Yeah, you do.
The deluge starts this week.
Yes, it does. So what's your one more thing?
My one more thing is Demon Slayer Infinity Castle.
What?
I went to see Demon Slayer Infinity Castle. It's incredible. The animation is so gorgeous. I've said several times that I found the first like 10 episodes of Demon Slayer nigh unwatchable. But the gorgeous animation really helped me get through it. And it's well known for gorgeous animation. It's not like some big...
No, Chance discovered it, actually.
Some big take that it's got gorgeous animation. But the, like, I didn't know that it could be better until I saw it better in the movie. Because the movie is maybe one of the most gorgeous movies I've ever seen in my entire life. The way they blend, like, classic Japanese animation with, like, classic Japanese art, with, like, CG is, like, kind of mind-blowing. From an animation standpoint, if it doesn't win some kind of Oscar or something, like I don't know what can. Maybe not like best animated movie, even though I thought it was incredible. It's not a great standalone movie. If you have not watched the series, because it is a payoff to the series, especially season two of the series. It is basically. This is my maybe light spoiler review, just kind of content wise, not like outcomes wise, but it is basically the story of three fights, where we kind of leave off the Demon Slayer series, the Demon Slayers being sent into the Infinity Castle. It is kind of, we're clearing the, there are these demons throughout the series that are supposed to be the 12 most powerful, called the 12 Kizuchi.
And you slay them?
Well, and we've killed most of them at this point. But we have to clean up two more. And we're still in a fight with one. This is just part one of three. So three movies of this quality. I now understand why it is going to take a year and a half for the next one to come out. It's gorgeous. It is incredibly satisfying if you have watched the series. I will just tell you that there is a villain that I have hated a great deal, since near the beginning of the show. Since season two, I don't think that's unfair to say. There's a villain I've hated a great deal, and he's kind of the centerpiece of this movie, kind of the final boss, as it will. And by the end, I was so conflicted about this character because I hate him for what he did and I hate him for what he is, but I like understand how he got there. And there's like, Cameron, the little details in this movie, like if you're not paying attention, you will miss, are really incredible, like are beyond incredible. And this like, This villain that the show did such a great job of making me hate throughout the beginning of the show becomes like kind of one of the most interesting characters in the show by the end of this movie. And like, yes, on a Broadway, on a broad scale, it kind of shows the through line of his life and you get kind of the big character arc, and that's interesting. But it's really the little details about him that you start to realize as his backstory is kind of unfurled that there's nothing like it. There really isn't. It's amazing. There's a reason that Demon Slayer is so big. There's a reason every screen in every theater in Japan was sold out for an entire 2-week period. It was great. It was wonderful. I can't recommend it enough.
Nice. Someday I'll watch it.
I want to spoil things so bad because there's like things that I bet people who even like went to watch it and watched it maybe a little bit more casually than I did, like didn't even pick up. And like, I bet I could point those out and make them enjoy it more. But yeah, it's a great movie. Like I said, the first 25 episodes of the anime, I have a real love-hate relationship with. I find especially the first 3 episodes basically unwatchable. I have a real up and down sense as we go throughout the show. But man, when season 2 kicks in, it is just one of the best things in anime.
Nice.
So yeah, I can't recommend Infinity Castle enough. Can't recommend Demon Slayer enough. If you can, read the manga until they kill the demon in the mansion and then start watching the show, in my opinion. Until that point, I really struggled with the show.
Noted.
But yeah, Demon Slayer, Infinity Castle, just excellent.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us.
Yep.
We've made it to the end of another episode. We never plugged it anywhere else, but if you have anything you want to add, questions for us,
comment. If you want me to spoil Demon Slayer Infinity Castle, I will.
Yeah, just message him about it. You can reach out to us at hotcomicpulls@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on Blue Sky at comicspalooza.bsky.social. We'd love to hear from you. But otherwise, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You have been listening to Comics Palooza. I realize I never really say that at the end.
I was supposed to say, we never say that.
We never. I've been listening to other podcasts, and I'm like, something's off whenever I say the end. And so I don't say what we were. So you have been listening to Comics Palooza.
The only comic podcast that is always
hot. It's always hot to go, but you can catch us next week, hopefully, you know, into the world, notwithstanding. At the same turtle time and the same bat channel.